Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
Good evening, guys. How's everybody doing tonight? Okay, all right. It took us a minute. It's all right. It's good. Who's wide awake? Who's wide awake? Okay. So I'm Ben. If I haven't met you, I am so glad that you're here tonight. You know, when we were back in worship, I kind of want to go off the cuff for a minute. And I was praying for you. And God just started to stir my heart. I believe God's going to do something so amazing tonight, something so powerful. God's really going to work in our hearts. And I'm excited. I'm very excited. I wanted to say something, and I don't want to just blow right past this. I wanted to take a moment and just welcome you to the family. Welcome you to the family. So go ahead, give yourself a good clap. If you don't want to clap, just clap anyway because it feels good. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Hey, we're going to go ahead. We're going to jump right in. And if you could do me a favor, turn to your neighbor real quick and just tell him, family's a big deal. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, you're a big deal. It's cool. It's cool. It's whatever. I'm so glad to be with you tonight. Zach called me earlier in the week and was like, "Hey, man, Ben, I need you to come in and fill in for me as you guys are getting ready to go in the small groups. Are you guys pumped for that? I am so pumped. Can I tell you real quick what I see? I've been spending a lot of time with Zach. For some of you guys that don't know that, I work very closely with him and to him actually, and so." I believe this with my whole heart, that 1 year from now, we're going to be looking around. We'll be looking around this room, and it's going to be like, are you kidding me? How do we even get here? Like I see a couple empty chairs. I believe that this room is going to be so packed with students, so packed with people that are just so hungry for God and what God has for them. And Wednesday nights are going to be, they're going to be lit. Anybody still say that? Lit, yeah, it's gonna be lit. It's about to go down, and I really feel like you guys could hit 600, like seriously, 600 people coming to Jesus, and I believe that you're gonna outgrow this room, and that you're gonna have to make it over to Maine. I'm believing that, and I'm just asking that you guys catch a vision and be believing that that's your friends. Those are the people that you're going to school with that are coming to Jesus, that are known and needed and not forgotten, and I believe that God's gonna do something so powerful. So powerful. Does that sound good? Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to jump right into God's word. We're going to jump right in. And if you could just pull out your Bibles or if you got your phone with you, go ahead, pull that out. That's your Bible. It's cool. It's good. And I want to encourage you tonight to take notes. Note takers are history makers. We're going to go ahead. We're going to go to Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to jump right in for time's sake. And we're going to be reading about a young man that has a lot of power and a lot of money. This is a disastrous combination, and I know a lot of us, we want a lot of money, right? That's cool and all, but aren't you glad that God didn't make you young and rich and powerful, because you would have done messed up your life already, you know what I'm saying? And so this is a young man, he's rich, he's a ruler, and he's asking God, what do I got to do to get into heaven? Watch what Jesus says. In Mark chapter 10, this is the rich in the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a young man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one calls me good except God alone. You shall know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And you shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I've kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and he loved him. I got to read that one more time. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Can I ask you a question? Let's just pause our reading for 1 second. Let's just stop right there. Do you have anybody in your world that can look you in the eyes and loves you enough to tell you the truth? It's one of the things that I love so much about Jesus. Jesus loved this young man so much that he looked him in the eyes, he engaged him, and he told him the honest truth. Jesus looked at him, and in love, he said, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. This is awesome. This is unbelievable. This is riveting in scripture. And when Jesus is actually exclaiming to this young man, I love you so much that I know that you've crossed off a lot of the commandments, but I can recognize that there's something missing in your life. Please understand me real quick. Most of us are afraid of correction because you've experienced correction in the wrong way. But if you look at it, correction is simply, it's simply clarity. So Jesus is clarifying that there's one thing that's missing from this young man's life. He's not exposing him. He's not making fun of him. He's not belittling him. He's not telling him how awful he is and you did this and that. And he's just saying, you know, I got to be honest with you. I know you've been good since Sunday school, but Jesus is saying, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I want to preach a message tonight and based out of the thought of this, that all of your living, look, if you want a quality life, it'll be determined by all of your loving. You really can't separate these two things, living and loving. And one of the reasons why Jesus lived so well is because he loved so well. So I want to talk tonight about how you and I have been called to love people. We haven't been sent to correct people alone, but we've been sent to love people in our darkest days, in their hopeless hours, in their brokenness, in their sin, no matter where they're at in the journey. By the way, we got people in this room that are on the journey. Come on, right? We are not put together. We're all chasing after Jesus, and we're to love one another. Whether they're in church or they're out of church, let's be people of love. And I want to preach a message, so if you're taking notes, please write down today's title. It's Who Do You Love? Who do you love? Yeah, that's right. Who do you love? Go ahead, turn to your neighbor, look at him, and just maybe elbow him a little bit. Just tell him, who do you love? Who do you love? It's awesome. And we're gonna pray. We're gonna bow our heads. I believe that God's gonna come and speak to us tonight. He's gonna strengthen us and encourage us tonight. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for everyone that's in this room. Lord, I thank you for opening our eyes so we can see you, Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit opening our heart so we can just receive from you and hear you so clearly, God. I thank you for doing a work in our life. And Lord, we just come before you right now. We're faith people, so we're praying out in faith in Jesus' name. As we're coming up on the football season, Lord, we're saying that the Steelers, that they are gonna kick butt in Jesus' name. If anybody believes that, will you just say amen? Are you not Steeler fans? What are you, Browns fans? Come on, you got some power? Can you just say amen? Okay, all right. Hey, so I don't know about you, but there's some things that I just love to do. I love, like, genuinely love. So, like, recently, my boy and I, he took me fishing. He took me to a place. I love fishing, by the way. I don't get to do it often, but I like it. And so my boy took me out, and we went to this place. I can't tell you, because if you're a fisherman in here, then you know. You don't share your secret spot, right? If you know that you got a spot that's good, you don't want everybody else to know. This is kind of your home base. And so I went to this place. My boy took me in, and as we were, when we got there, it was sketchy. Okay, I'm just going to be straight with you. It was the sketchiest thing I've ever done. He didn't tell me what was going to happen as we were going. So let me just give you a little bit here. We were walking, like, literally a mile down train tracks, okay? That was kind of sketchy. Not that bad. We get to this place. It's beautiful. I wish I could tell you. I don't want to tell you. I'm going to show you, though. I don't tell you. And so as soon as we get there, he's like, oh, hey, by the way, there's this spillway where the river just kind of, like, it just pours over. It's very powerful. And we're going to walk across that thing. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where your boy takes you to go and do something, and you don't want to be that guy to be like, no, this looks pretty, like, this is dangerous, bro. Like, something could happen. And no, like, so I just go. I'm like, okay, I'll do this. I'm cool. I'm all right. And he literally takes me, and we're, like, scooting across the bottom of this spillway. There's such power and pressure of water just rushing right at our feet. And so, by the way, disclaimer, never do this, okay? Don't fall under peer pressure. I did. I'm not perfect. I'm on a journey, okay? And so I'm scooching across. I'm making my way. And midway, he goes like this. Oh, hey, Ben, I just want to tell you, if you hear, like, an alarm or a horn, that means that you've got 1 minute to scooch back across. They're going to actually lower it. More water's going to come. You don't want to be there. I'm like, no, like, I didn't want to be that, like, no. So we just keep going, and we end up getting here, and it was so awesome. It was beautiful. I got a picture real quick of this place, if we could throw it up. I mean, like, that doesn't even justify, but so we made it out to this little island, this little rock, and if you've ever gone fishing, you know that one of the things you do at fishing is you just wait a long time, right? This was awesome. This was different. Like, we were there for 1 hour. In 1 hour, we caught 27 fish. It was amazing. I ain't going to tell you my spot, though, because it's my spot. You know, holler at your boy. And I got another one. This is so cool. I got a few more pictures, but I just want to show you. Come on. You ever see fishermen? They're like, I caught a fish this big. Yeah, I ain't lying. It's some good fish in there. There's one more. There's one more of my boy Zeke. But dude, we just had a blast. I genuinely loved it. I mean, like, I loved it. When I use the word love, like when I use the word love, what is it? What is the connotation that comes to your mind? Like, what is it that strikes you about that word? What's the association with the word love? When I hear the word love, I immediately begin to think of like cards, chocolate, flowers, Valentine's Day. You know what I mean? Like that's me. I think of watching Stranger Things with my wife Alyssa. I'm believing it. I'm speaking it out in Jesus' name. It's coming back this fall. Come on, anybody? You guys don't watch Stranger Things? I'm praying for you. Okay, we're going to take a prayer break right now. And so, and immediately, when I think of the word love, I think of, like, my wife. I think of my daughter, Mila Catalina Archer. She's so awesome. And, like, I think about friends. I think about food. Food, come on, somebody. Like, so when the... when the word love comes into your mind, what happens for you? I want to land today, and I believe that love, a great definition of love is choosing the greater good or what's best for the other person. When you love someone, you choose what's best for them. When you love someone, you're actually interested in what's good for them, not what's just good for you. So I want to talk today about our living, which actually equates to our loving, and I'm going to give you a few things to write down today, and you can write down the first thought, which is so powerful. Our living is a result of our loving. Our living is a result of our loving. So how well you live is predicated on how well you love. You can't live well and love poorly. Let me say it another way. You can't live well and have no love. Love is the main thing. Love is the definition. By the way, all of the prophets and all of the laws are summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as, say it a little louder, as yourself. Jesus is teaching us that our living actually comes from our loving. This is so important that you understand this, because if you don't, this is what will happen. Your life will be defined by how much you accumulate, how much you gather, and all of your accolades. Listen, living well has nothing to do with wealth. It has nothing to do with cars. It has nothing to do with fame. Living well has everything to do with your relationships and how well you love God and love people. Come on. Somebody say, just say come on. You know it's good. You know it's good. And so, you know, my wife and I, God recently dealt with our heart, and we sold some properties. We had a couple rental properties, and as we were going through the process and selling them, we were hanging out in Ambridge at like the 200 block for a long time. It was pretty cool. I don't know where you're at, but for me, I'm the loud person in my family. You know, like you know when I'm in the living room, you know when I'm downstairs, I'm always yelling. I'm not yelling because I'm mad. I just talk loud and I'm crazy. So you know what I mean? Like, so I'm loud, I'm wild, I'm always yelling. My daughter, she goes to bed at 7. She sleeps all the way through the night. I don't stop being loud and yelling. It's crazy. She just puts her right to sleep. And so when we were there and we're at the like 200 block, we're cleaning up this house, getting ready to sell it, just honoring what God told us to do. I heard some kids playing outside. And it was awesome because, you know, they're just loud and crazy, just like me. I felt like I was at home. And then all of a sudden, I heard one of the kids. He just yelled. He's like, yeah, I want it all, cars, money, girls, what? I'm like, wait a minute. Did you just quote Lil Wayne? Like, this is so weird. You know what I mean? But what Jesus is saying is that what the world defines as success, the world says that if you've got money, if you've got cars, if you've got stuff, then you're living it. Jesus says it opposite, right? The Bible is saying that your life is defined by your love. The way that you love God and you love people will actually be the quality of your living. Your living stems out of your loving. Your loving determines your living. You can't separate these two. If you want to live well, then you have to love well. Love, by definition, is choosing the better for the other person, choosing what's best for the other person. Let me give you another way to say it. The Bible says it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. Watch what the Bible says about the definition of love. Love is patient. Drop the mic right there. That's hard. It's hard to be patient with someone when they don't act the way that you want them to. It's hard to be patient when someone's on the journey. It's hard to be patient when someone doesn't see what you see. So the first thing about love is patient. Why did Paul start with patient? Because he knows how hard and important it is in relationships. He says, love is patient, and then he could have dropped the mic on the second one. He said, love is patient, love is kind. Stop already. That's hard stuff. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor. Other translations say it's not rude. Here's a thought. Children have no filter, right? They can say the darndest things. They can be rude. You know better. You can't be rude. So number five is, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. I am so glad that I'm up here and my wife is over in Geneva helping get everything ready with Echo Camp, because she'd be nudging me right now saying, see, the Bible says you can't keep any records of my wrong, see? And like, I would have bruises in my ribs. And so number six says this, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with truth. Love it always protects, it always trusts. In other words, let's stop here real fast. You can't love someone and have no trust in them. Loving them is trusting them. Trusting that God is speaking to them. Trusting that the Holy Spirit is their pastor. Trusting that all things are going to work out for the good. Love is trust. In fact, I'll say this. You will always stay in shallow relationships if you are a person that is reluctant to trust. Most people that have trust issues have experienced broken trust. But you know what? We serve such a big God, such a mighty God, that can heal the issues of your life so that you can begin to trust people again. Come on. God wants to heal that area of your life so that you can trust. Number seven, verse seven, love always trusts, love always hopes, it always perseveres. Love, this is so powerful. It'll never let you down. Love never fails. So the Bible is saying that you and I, that all of our living, it comes from our loving, and if we want to live well, then we must love well, and you can't separate these two, so our living describes our loving. So if I'm going to live really well, then I got to love really well. It's an interesting thing to me, the reason why so many people have a problem with loving well. It's because they've been hurt. It's because they've been betrayed, they've been abandoned, they've been abused, they've been misused. So that affects our relationships and our loving. So you can write down the second point today, our second thought. In order for me to give love, I must first receive love. In order for me to give love, I must first receive love. So to give love, I must first receive love. Jesus said it this way, love your neighbor as yourself. I cannot give to my neighbor what I do not give to myself. I'll say it this way, if you are harsh and critical with yourself, you will be harsh and critical with others. You know, when I was growing up, I used to have this horrible view of myself. Actually, almost till I was about 23 years old. And so I would walk around feeling dumber than others. I felt like I was dumb as a box of rocks. And I'd feel like I didn't fit in. I was always thinking, I'll never amount to anything. Feeling like I don't have friends. Can I be brutally transparent with you? I never had to have somebody tell me I wasn't good enough. Because when I looked in the mirror, I saw it for myself. If you can't forgive yourself of what you did last summer or the summer before, you will not forgive others of their blemishes and their mistakes. Now, I love the book of Romans, and I love it so much. And the Apostle Paul, he gives us all sorts of epistles. And he's written all these letters to different churches and the different cities, the church of Philippi and the church of Thessalonica and the church of Corinth and all these different churches. And one of my favorite writings of the Apostle Paul is that he wrote to the church of Rome. And he went to Rome, and the book of Romans, he lays the groundwork that in Jesus, you and I, we now have become the righteousness in front of God. So no matter your sin, no matter your blemish, no matter your failures, because of the blood of Jesus, because of Jesus and what he did on the cross for you and I, anybody thankful today that we are now the righteousness of God? Come on. When God looks at you, he can't even see you because all he sees is Jesus. He can't see the wrongs that you've done. And somebody needs to hear this tonight. Stop beating yourself up. Stop thinking you're not good enough. Stop saying you don't fit in. Because here's the truth. If you say something or you think something that breaks God's heart, why do you think it'll fulfill yours? Stop it. And allow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to minister to your heart and define his creation. Receive his love. Receive who he says you are. Come on, God can heal you. God can put that thing back together. And so Paul is telling us that if you want to live well, then you've got to love. And so all of our living, it stems from our loving, and you can't give love if you didn't receive love. So now watch the last and final thing, and I love this point so much. We're going to end on this. We're going to close. We're going to wrap up. Your love for others, if you really think about it, it's a direct connection for your love for God. Let me explain it this way. The more I love God, the more I naturally begin to love people. The more I get vertical with God, the more I become horizontal with people. The greater of a passion I have for Jesus, the greater of a burden he gives me for a passion for his people. So all of my love for people is just a result from my love for God. Because Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love God and hate others. You can't love God and have a disdain for humanity. Watch what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. So in other words, if you've got an issue loving people, it means that you've got an issue with your relationship with God. Because the more that you love God, the more you're gonna love people. It's an amazing thing. Have you ever noticed that when you love somebody, you love what they love? Like you join a circle of friends, you find out that they're all in the football. They're like, I love football. You're like, wow, wow. I love football, me too. Or they're like, you like hockey? You're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, me too, hockey. When you love somebody, you love what they love. When you really love somebody, like I really love Alyssa, my wife. She's amazing. Now Alyssa loves animals. I love animals, if they're your animals, not my animals. I love dogs. If it's your dog, right? I'll pet that dog for days. Great. Your poodle? Amazing. Like, bro, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, best poodle ever. If it's your poodle. But because of her love for animals, I love animals. You can't love God and not love his creation. You can't fall in love with God and not fall in love with his people. The more you love God, the more he bends the arrows of your heart outwards towards people. So my love for others is only a direct result from my love for God. I love this about God. The more I get excited about the gospel and who Jesus is, God doesn't just increase my love for the gospel, but he begins to increase my burden for people. Some of you guys just want to love God. Man, I love God. God's so great, man. God's so good. Oh, man, love God, God. Oh, man, I hate Christians. Yeah, I hate Christians. Christians suck, right? Or I love church. Oh my gosh, church is so great. But I hate church people. Boy, church would be nice without church people. You can't love God and not receive a burden for his people because our love for others is simply a result for our love for God. Anybody thankful today that he's bending the arrows of our heart outwards towards people and helping us to see people the way that he sees people? If you're struggling with loving people, I want to encourage you to pray for them. If you're struggling with loving people, I want to encourage you to pray for them. And maybe you should ask God, God, help me to see people the way that you see them. God, help me to have eyes like yours. Praying for them will always help your heart and keep your heart soft. Jesus, if you think about it, Jesus was so good at this. He was so good at loving people. He was sitting at this well one time and he was drinking this glass of water and he encounters this woman and he forever changed her life. It was the woman at the well. You realize that this was a Samaritan woman. You realize that they didn't start the conversation just on the same level. They were on completely different political planets. That she couldn't even grasp why a Jewish man would be talking to her. And yet Jesus loved her so much. Right where she was, that changed her world. She went home and she said, I met a man today that changed my life. Jesus loved that woman. One time, they brought Jesus this woman that was caught in the middle of an adulterous affair in the very act, right where she was. Everybody wanted to stone her. But what did Jesus do? He loved her right where she was. He said, neither do I condemn you of your sins. Go and sin no more. And he loved her. Jesus loved a man one time. He was so possessed with so many demons, they called him Legion because they had so many in his life. Jesus loved this man, blind Bartimaeus. He was walking by this man, this guy, and he could hear the desperation in his voice that needing healing for his life. He walked by this guy and he had no eyesight. Bartimaeus. Jesus touches his life and heals him right on the spot. Everywhere Jesus went, in fact, the Bible said in the book of John that there were so many testimonies from people, there's not enough books in the world to reveal all the amazing stories that Jesus did. Jesus didn't come to change the world by condemning it, not by telling it how bad it is. Jesus changed the world by dying on the cross because of the love for the world. Come on, be thankful that Jesus loves you right where you're at. Jesus Christ, he loves you in your brokenness. He loves you in your sin. And Jesus is saying something so powerful in John 13. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, no longer will you have to be concerned about this law or that law or this and that and all your do-goodisms. But if you just be somebody that loves God and loves people, you will fulfill all the commandments and all the prophets. And a new command I give you, that you love one another. And this is how we will know. We will not know that you're a Christian by your church attendance. We will not know that you're a Christian by how much you give in an offering bucket. We will not know you're a Christian by how many podcasts you listen to, but we will know that you're a believer by the way that you love one another. This is how we know that you're a disciple. Come on, anybody. Sozo. Are you ready, Sozo? Are you ready to expand and make room at the table, as Zach says? I know who I love. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul. And I love my neighbor as myself. So if you love God today, will you just go ahead and give him a clap, a little praise break, and just praise him? Come on. Can we bow our heads? If you came in here today and you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, you know he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And yet, he calls you friend. I'd love to pray with you and I'd love to give you that opportunity to make Jesus the king of your life tonight, to start your relationship with him. If you've never prayed this prayer, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, would you just slip up your hand right now so I can pray with you? I'm not gonna single anybody out. I'd never embarrass you. But if you're here and you'd say, Ben, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to start my relationship with him tonight. You just slip up your hand. We're going to pray together. Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says in Romans that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Will you repeat after me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on. Come on. And as we close today, I just want to pray for you. And I want to wrap us up in prayer. Can we close our eyes and bow our heads one more time? God, I thank you for giving us the strength to love our neighbor. God, I thank you for giving us the strength to see ourselves as you see us. And in return, we can see your people as you see them. God, I thank you for bending the arrows of our heart outward to your creation. And Lord, I thank you for a supernatural strength and grace to do what only you can do. And to love people even when they don't deserve it. To love people where they're at, God, we're just asking you for a grace in our lives and in theirs. In Jesus' name we pray.